Happy Methodist New Year! It's my 1 year anniversary with you all today. One year serving the community of Butte with you, getting to know you, loving you, and I look forward to many more years. And in the past year, we've grown. I have, and you have. We've found growing edges. And when I had the opportunity to meet with you all in the small groups, which I hope to continue in the near future, I asked several questions. And two of them were, what brought you to Aldersgate? And what kept you here? Why did you stay? And I love hearing the stories of how you came here. But what's even more interesting is why you stay here. Several of you named that Aldersgate has been a place of healing for you, a place where you rest and restore, an easy place to be with loving people around you, people who make you feel welcome and seen, a safe place to be. What Aldersgate has been for people at particular times is an authentic experience of Jesus. Now, that's a big claim, but let me unpack today's story for you so that we can hear what we are calling to be and do as followers of Jesus as we live in our world today. Jesus and his disciples had been on the Gentile side of the Sea of Galilee, teaching about the kingdom of God through the parables of the sower and the mustard seed. They cross the Sea of Galilee, and Jesus is napping when a storm begins to toss the boat. And the disciples are afraid, and they cry out to Jesus, "Teacher, do you even care that we are perishing?" And Jesus asks them a question, ever the teacher, even in those moments. And then he rebukes the wind, saying, "Peace, be still." The disciples are reeling about this experience and wondering who this Jesus is that they have decided to lay down their jobs, their very livelihoods, to follow when they arrive in Gerasene, where Jesus was met by a man with unclean spirits who had come to be living in the caves right there by the sea. And Jesus draws the unclean spirits out of this man and gives him new life. And then they leave Gerasene, and Jesus and the disciples boat to the Jewish side of the sea. And right when they get out of the boat, there is a big crowd there to greet him, pressing on him. And what we learn is that this is a very diverse crowd, filled with poverty and affluence, filled with hope and desperation, filled with those considered clean according to Jewish purity codes, and filled with those considered unclean. The storyteller masterfully parallels two lives in this story, one being the 12-year-old daughter of a highly affluent man named Jairus, who is a leader in the local synagogue. He's desperately trying to get help for his daughter, who's on her deathbed, and as you might imagine, he's tried everything, and he has the money to do it. He comes to Jesus in desperation. This is his last hope here. This guy is known to heal. Perhaps he can heal his daughter. And Jesus decides, yes, I will go see her. And on their way, a woman who's been hemorrhaging for 12 long years is also desperately seeking help. She has lost everything trying to get answers, trying to find wellness. Hemorrhaging, she is considered unclean according to Jewish purity codes. Not only is she poor now that she's tried everything, but she can't go to synagogue, can't go to temple. Actually, she can't be touched. She is an untouchable. For that uncleanliness is contagious. She thinks, if I can just touch him, if I can just touch Jesus, I can be made well. Maybe this bleeding will stop. Maybe I can become clean. Maybe. What do I have to lose? She didn't have anything to lose, for she had nothing left. She takes a chance and reaches out her hand and makes contact. And immediately her hemorrhaging stops. And Jesus feels that energy go from him. He stopped. And as I talked about with the kids, he's interrupted as he goes to heal another. And he turns to ask who it was that touched him. And then he sees her. He sees her. He looks into her eyes, searches her face, and truly sees her. She has not been seen for so long. And friends, it's in this moment that she is fully and wholly healed. You see, she hasn't been touched. She hasn't been seen. And even though she had interrupted Jesus and risked everything, though she had shown her vulnerability, Jesus' response was filled with compassion. He names her daughter, drawing her close in relationship and tells her that her faith has made her whole. He blesses her, sending her forth with the words, "Go in peace." And then word comes that Jairus' daughter has died. Jesus doesn't respond with the words of consolation that you would typically expect to hear in this kind of situation. No, sorry for your loss, or let me know if I can do anything for you. He says instead, do not fear, only believe, and marches on to the tune of folks laughing at his continued effort. They get to the house, get the naysayers out of there, and right then and there, Jesus says, Talitha cum. Talitha cum. Words of resurrection. Words of new life. Again, Jesus invites someone to new life, and this time, a little girl. It seems that there were two resurrections that day. The woman and the girl were brought back into full life, into full connection. Yet I would venture to say that there were more than two. For the resurrections occurred in community. Jairus risked everything, his pride, his position, his status in the synagogue and in the community, to go to this Jesus guy and ask him to lay hands on his daughter. The woman who had bled for 12 long years had nothing to lose and risked touching Jesus just in case he could heal her. And it's here, in the riskiness and vulnerability of laying themselves out there in the open and asking for help in the midst of community, that Jesus meets them with compassion, that Jesus healed them, not only healed what they asked for, but got to the root of the problem. And they let go of their fears so that they could believe that new life is possible. That the kingdom of God is not just some fairy tale, but that it is possible on earth as it is in heaven. Imagine being a part of that crowd. You witnessed not only one, but two resurrections that day, possibly more, both bringing people back from the dead, one literally dead and the other dead in ways of status, power, cast out and unseen. Like the disciples on the sea, when Jesus rebuked the wind to be peaceful and still, I imagine there would be awe in that crowd. There would be hope. There would be an inkling to begin in each person asking, am I alive? Truly? Living into new life, being healed, living out loud and believing that salvation is now, as we talked about last week. This is risky business. It's in the realm of being vulnerable. Those wounds in our lives, they can be deep. They can be sticky. They may have been there for years and years. We don't know. And we don't always talk about it. especially those old, deep wounds. And we don't know what someone who walks through those doors on a Sunday morning or walks past us at work or in the community are going through or what they've been through in the last week, the last month, or the last years. So how do we respond when we're interrupted from what we believe is a noble cause, or from our work, or from taking care of family? Let's look at Jesus. He was interrupted on his way to heal Jairus' daughter. And how did he respond? With compassion. He took the time to see the woman, to allow for her to soak up the healing and restoration from being in contact with someone, and then named her as family, named her as healed and whole, and named her as blessed. I don't know about you, but like we talked with the kids, compassion isn't my first reaction to being interrupted. However, that's what we're called to see interruptions as holy and blessed, to remember to see people for who they are, right here and now, not necessarily knowing everything, but accepting them, loving them, naming them as worthy of being in relationship. Eventually, with time and trust, we share our stories with each other. We learn about each other's lives and we become a part of each other's lives. And that's what Aldersgate does. The people of Aldersgate become a part of each other's lives. We continue to become a petri dish of God's kingdom. What is possible in that dish, in that kingdom, when we do life together, when we believe in new life in Christ, when we open up our hearts, minds, and doors for people to rest and heal, when we're that safe place as the beloved community, when we risk not being those perfect-looking, polite people and risk being the followers of Jesus Christ who open up their hearts to vulnerability for God's love to meet them where they are. Earlier, I made that big claim that Aldersgate has been an authentic experience of Jesus for people. People have experienced Aldersgate as a place and as a community of healing, of rest, of love, and of truth. Truly, this is a community that believes in new life, that believes that Jesus' healing touch and presence in our lives is real. And friends, when we are at our best and when we are at our worst, we are still the beloved community. We are the body of Christ. We are the hands, feet, and heart of Christ, called to be the healing touch and presence in our community and in our world. And that's special. That's why people want to be a part of a faith community like this one. So how do we continue to live into that calling? To continue to grow into Christ's hands, feet, and heart? To be agents of God's salvific hope and healing with each other, our community, and the world? Consider those holy interruptions as a starting place. Consider how you meet people where they are, not knowing where or how they've been. And consider your own journey. Where are you right now? Do you need Jesus' healing touch on your heart, on your life? No matter what your answer is, you are invited to come to this table. In the words of a band I really liked in college named 10th Avenue North, this is where the healing begins. This is where the healing starts. When it comes to where you're broken within, the light meets the dark. At this table, you're allowed to be messy. You're allowed to be someone with privilege and someone without. You are given permission to be who you are, to come as you are, because Jesus will meet you here with compassion. Jesus will turn everything on its head like he did for the woman and turn disease into wellness and wholeness. Will transform death to new life. At this table, resurrection is possible. And you're invited now. So let's pray. Loving God, we pray for you to pour your spirit on these elements of bread that was broken for the forgiveness of sins, for healing and wholeness in this world. And we pray over this juice, this cup, that it be our salvific hope, and that it, when it goes into us, helps us to be salvific hope in our community and in our world. Amen.